Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Monday, April 15th, 2024. I want to thank everyone for joining, and thank you for your belief and your trust in this platform, in me, and of course...
You're alive.
Yeah, live. Pinch me. Yeah. Alive or live? Both.
You're alive and alive.
Yeah. Amen to that. Just got back late last night from Wisconsin. More on that in a second. I just want to open up by saying this. My last report, obviously, was a very sad report, and that was of my oldest daughter, Julie. Not Eric's wife, but Julie. My oldest daughter was found dead behind her house in her backyard a week ago yesterday. And there she is on the screen. If you're watching this or if you're listening to this via podcast, you can go to Rumble. You can go to Hagman PI or Rumble. Well, go to Rumble and or Hagman PI and click on the video for that. And there she is with, the reason I bring this up is because I have to tell you this. I cannot comment on this, the cause, manner, and so on of death. I was asked not to. There's a police investigation. There's a police detective I've been dealing with, and I've been asked not to really say anything. And I'm going to follow those instructions. And people, you know, if you wonder why, for example, I did go to Wisconsin this past weekend. As I mentioned in my announcement, you know, when you're going through hell, and by the way, when everything you could possibly do has been done, when everything I could possibly do has been done, get out of the way. Plus, I had a detective, lead detective, tell me after an exchange, a quite lengthy exchange of information. The best thing you can do is put yourself at this point a couple of states away. There's reasons she said that, of course, which I'm not going to get into, but you can read between the lines. And I said, gee, I guess that's a mandate, if you will, because folks, you know, it's a different world out there. The people out there, there are certain people out there who are bad people that need to die. Maybe that's why I was advised to get a couple of states away. It was one of the most difficult things I had to do, by the way. Not because it was difficult, but because it was difficult to leave, frankly. Here are a couple of pictures from the conference. I'll tell you what, the people I met, and every one of you that I met who were listening and watching to this, this is during my presentation, but everyone I met, even Lady the studio dog was a little upset with me leaving, but everyone I met there was absolutely... The salt of the earth, the best people on the planet. I know, lady. Hang on. There's a picture of myself with Rob Pugh, the owner, editor, founder, delivery person, the printer, he's got all the jobs, of Wisconsin Christian News. One of the greatest men I know. And folks, Wisconsin Christian News newspaper is well needed. You like that? It looks like somebody goosed me right there. I don't quite get that, but not one of the best pictures of me for sure. But Rob Pugh is one of the finest men I know. And Coach Dave Dobmeier was there as well, just setting the place on fire because we won't back down. All right, news. Getting to the news. Obviously, today President Trump is sitting through this sham case by this piece of shit judge. That's right. That's right. A piece of crap judge, Merchan, M-E-R-C-H-A-N. This piece of shit political hack of a judge. And this piece of shit political DA, Alvin Bragg. Who, by the way, on his third day of being a DA in New York, decided to write a policy memo deciding not to prosecute violent crime in New York. And what do you think happened? They're all pieces of crap, all of these political hacks out there. But let me tell you about what this trial is all about. And let me tell you how third world Marxist banana republic this whole thing is. Right now, President Trump is in a southern Manhattan courtroom. And by the way, I'm not even allowed to say it, except to say I've been there. I'll just say I've been there as a defendant. There, I said it. In a lawfare case. Because this is what this is all about. It's about election interference. It's about this Marxist communist state. It's about this Marxist communist state putting in these Marxist communist bastards to rule the United States, to push this diversity, equity, and inclusion, to push this transgenderism, to push all of the everything the communist agenda has targeted as goals. I think 63 or 45, and they were read in the record back in 63 or something to that effect. But they're all coming true. But what this case is all about, as he sits right now for jury selection in a Manhattan courtroom, and by the way, both sides get 10 free release without cause. In other words, if they don't like the looks of somebody, they can release that person. They can disqualify that person from jury selection, from the jury pool. And then they get somebody more to be released for cause. But for the first time in the history of the United States of America, you have a political trial taking place against a former president of the United States and a candidate for president of the United States this year. This is the biggest election interference issue that you'll ever see. It's an unfair, biased proceeding implicating the presidential frontrunner. Because remember, politics, as Bongino says, two things politics are. Sound bites and snapshots. That's exactly what this is, and that's how they're using this. But let's very quickly, talking about the venue. New York City, the Southern District in New York, that sewage pit run by the minions of hell. Perhaps the only location on planet Earth that's a little bit behind D.C. It boasts one of the most hostile jury pools in the nation. Perhaps, again, only behind Washington. To conservatives specifically, in general, and to MAGA people, supporters of President Trump specifically. If this was a normal trial, a normal system of justice, if we were operating under a normal system of justice that upheld traditional standards of judicial ethics, there would be absolutely no jury would be allowed to draw its members from Manhattan. None, zero, nada. The most left-wing of the five boroughs, which over 3 in 4 residents voted for Biden over Trump in 2020. That should tell you right now where this is headed, and this has been planned out. if preserving the integrity of New York, if that was an actual concern, Donald Trump's council would have the ability to transfer a venue to a district, name it, even Long Island, but out of Manhattan. Secondly, Judge Merchan is conflicted, absolutely conflicted beyond repair. Laura Loomer has done such a great job on this, on uncovering the conflicts of interest by Judge Merchan. This is even worse than the conflicts involving Fannie Willis. All right? Through his immediate family connections, and by the way, in, when you have a trial, bias is determined by degrees. There's a first degree, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth degree. Like, you don't have to know this, okay? But that's how bias is determined. So if you've got, let's say, a relative or friend that falls into like a sixth degree area that would suggest a certain amount of bias, you could probably get away with it. But now the bar doesn't look very kindly to that. The justice system as well, not too kindly to that. Merchan has first degree, absolutely first degree, and even himself, that he's got conflicts of interest. But through his immediate family connections, he's absolutely proven himself to be incapable of presiding over a fair trial. And even if he tried, he couldn't do it because of the conflict of interest that exists between him, his court, and the Biden regime. Let me tell you this. Number one, Biden's Justice Department tapped Matthew Colangelo, a senior-level political appointee, to work closely with, that's right, Alvin Bragg. Pulled him out of the DOJ to work this nothing of a case, which at best would have been a misdemeanor. There's 34 counts of putting, and this is what it boils down to, putting the wrong character, the wrong description in the right box. And it was so nothing of anything that even Cy Vance, the former DA, said, no, we can't do anything with it. Plus, the statute of limitations were over. So, I mean, it was beyond the statute of limitations. But until Biden, his Department of Justice, and the Soros-backed minions of hell got involved in this, it went from nothing to 34 felony counts. As I said, Cyrus Vance, Jr., special counsels, government agencies, justice departments, all of these officials evaluated this case and passed, said, no, we're going to pass. There's nothing here. Only once. And I should say this. In 2018, this is about Stormy Daniels too, payments to via Cohen to Stormy Daniels. They call it hush money. That's what they call it, is hush money.
That's still a thing?
Yeah, really. Yeah, I thought Clinton took care of that. What do you say about that, Monica? Don't talk with your mouth full. I'm gonna get kicked off like a number of places.
She was eating popcorn.
Yeah. I think popcorn, Vienna sausage, I guess. I don't know. But here's, oh gosh. I'm sorry. I am. I'm so stoked by the wonderful people I met this weekend and by the love. But I'm telling you what, you folks are like the best. But anyway. So Stormy Daniels, it's not new. The public's already aware of what's going on there. Major players, two major players in this, Michael Cohen and Michael Avenatti. Cohen, by the way, both of them, actually, Cohen and Avenatti have been proven time and time again to be nothing but frauds. That's right. Sue me for saying that. Because I can point out to where you were sentenced to federal prison, both of you, for lying to Congress. Cohen specifically for lying to Congress and Avenatti. He's currently right now serving a 10 plus year sentence in federal prison. That's right, federal prison for extortion. So these are the prosecution witnesses, by the way, primary witnesses. So you got two friggin' liars. You got a banana republic situation going on right now. And why am I angry? Because this country is greater than that. It's greater than the Democrats, the leftists, the communists, all of these bastards that want to bring us down. The United States is much greater than that. But only one's Biden. And by the way, what you're going to hear on this show right now with Biden, it's going to curl your hair, because we're going to be talking to RT's on deck. We're going to be talking about Biden approving the attack on Israel by Iran. And today being tax day, which before the show, I had to, I'm a little late. I had to go to my accountant's office to file my tax, or to finish, sign the electronic payment forms, so I can in part participate in keeping a war by the globalists alive and the Biden regime healthy, or I go to jail. Enough with the taxes. But anyway, real quick, once Biden got to, I was talking about Stormy Daniels too. The fact that Cohen and Avenatti are not the greatest people on earth, you know that. They're felons, Cohen and Avenatti, but that's the best the left can do. In 2018, I don't know how many people know this, I think we showed this last week, Stormy Daniels penned a letter back in 2018 that stated, each party to this alleged affair denied its existence back in 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, and now again in 2018. And that, she also wrote, I am denying this affair because it never happened. But Biden comes to power through illicit means, which is going to happen again in 24 if we don't start getting our act together. And all of a sudden the case is resurrected because Biden, through his Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, put Colangelo from the Department of Justice into Bragg's office. And also, it's so bad. Listen to this. It's so bad that two radical, far-left prosecutors in that office left Bragg's office. Kerry Dunn and Mark Pomerantz. They resigned in protest. Okay. Real quick here. Let's talk about Merchant and his conflicts real quick. As Laura Loomer, friend of mine, friend of the show, great, great, great lady. In fact, she's reporting from Southern District of New York down there. Merchant's impartiality has been irreparably muddied by reports that his daughter, Lauren, serves as president of an organization called Authentic Digital, which is... it's a digital agency that partners with clients to build award-winning programs for progressive causes and campaigns. In other words, it's a communist organization, in my view. The organization proudly boasts Kamala Harris and Adam Schiff as clients. And also, you want to know the client list? This is the judge's daughter. Listen, come up here. This is the judge's daughter, Lauren. This is a first degree conflict. She also worked for Biden-Harris campaign, Governor Newsom, Governor Kathy Hochul, Ilhan Omar, among many other far-left communist Democrats. His daughter donated thousands of dollars directly to Democratic politicians. And there's no chance impartiality could be established. But yet the first thing that Merchant did today is look at Trump and said to him, this according to the people down there, that there is no conflict of interest. And if you say otherwise, you know, you're going to be in violation of a gag order. That's why you and I and RT, Eric the Tech, and everybody listening to this who cares about justice, we must be the voice of Donald Trump. I don't care if you don't like him. I don't care. Do you like America? You're watching it go down the crapper. He should be forced to recuse himself. That's, I'm talking about Judge Merchan, but of course the venue situation alone would should qualify or disqualify the trial, but Merchan shouldn't be forced to recuse himself. But of course he's too big for that. But by the way, the case itself, it's just BS. His so-called case is as blatant of an act of election interference as one could possibly get. He's teeing up a potentially 2-month trial that could smack dab in the middle of a be smack dab in the middle of a it is and could extend into the a very important part of the election cycle in campaigning, forcing President Trump to remain at that table. It's just ridiculous. President Trump, however, in 1-minute clip, and then RT's coming on, in this 1-minute clip, says it well. This in the show notes, folks, at HagmanPI.com. Go to HagmanPI.com if you want to get additional information in this. Yeah, I'm passionate. I'm passionate. I'm a little bit rough around the edges. Believe me, okay, if I slept more than 14 hours in the last week, I don't remember, but... So my apologies for being a little bit crass, but I think I've earned that right. But watch this. This is video one, Trump on Assault on America. Go to HagmanPI.com, open up today's description box, and there it will be, along with RT, Randy Taylor's email address, as well as mine, which is now fixed. It's actually Doug at HagmanPI.com now, I think, or will be very soon. So I appreciate appreciate all the emails. But here it is, video one.
This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar said this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case, and they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here.
So that was the statement from President Trump this morning. It meant at the Southern District of Manhattan. And folks, I'll tell you this. I'll say this. If you want to follow this trial, and if you want the information, the backstory and such, Paul Ingracia, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. His Substack is absolutely excellent for information about this. All right. Patiently waiting as I make a fool of myself here through my monologue is Randy Taylor, RT at HagmanPI.com. Randy, thanks for holding.
Oh, right on, buddy. You got to get it off your chest.
I'll tell you
Sounds
what, man.
Sounds good. Let it rip. It's your show.
Driving back from the middle of Wisconsin, probably about hour number 9 last night, I'm looking for a bridge abutment. Okay, to crash into, you know, thinking yeah, about this.
You have had a busy week.
Yeah, indeed. But you know, America has had a busy week. The entire mm-hmm. world has had a busy week. Everyone listening to this, folks, and by the way, RT, a lot of people there in Wisconsin said to tell you hello. A lot of people love you. It was just an amazing thing to hear, and I appreciate you. So,
all right, on, buddy. One of these days, if that wasn't your last one, I'll go with you.
You know, I'm, I'm, I'm too ornery to sit out anything. I don't know. I don't know. I'll tell you what. It will be my last one on the topic I was there for. So I think. I don't know. What the heck? But so what do you think? Look, I know we're going to talk about the war, and we're going to talk about that. But what do you think of this trial? What's your opinion of the trial?
This trial's ridiculous. It's a joke. Their list of witnesses. Stormy Daniels, also known as Stephanie Clifford, Michael Cohen. I mean, would you believe anything that comes out of these people's mouths? If you were just in your local courtroom there in where you live, Doug, and that's what the prosecution had for witnesses, was two or three criminals, would there even be a case? No. It would be
tossed. The DA would never even bring a case.
Oh, this is the kind of thing that a defendant normally prays for. But this will be twisted and everything else. The problem I have with people that hate Trump is most of the stuff that they'll, because I'll ask them, why do you hate him? And they'll always bring up stuff that happened before he ever even thought, before he came down that escalator and said he would run for president. And when you stop and think about that, okay? And most of the people that are pointing and screaming and this and that, and he's this and he's that and blah, 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 have done far worse in their personal lives. But they don't have a camera following them around and broadcasting everything they do. And it's been, this isn't just these trials, man. His presidential term in office, the whole thing was a witch hunt. The guy was being witch hunted every day. The mobs were out there every day. It's been constant persecution. Not prosecution, persecution of what I deem to be a good man. You know what? God uses imperfect vessels to do his work.
I know. I see that in the mirror every day.
Exactly. And I think people need to know that. I'm not perfect. Doug's not perfect. I wouldn't want my life broadcasting on television. None of us would. You know, but this guy stepped up because he loves his country. If anybody has any doubt about Trump loving his country, they need to really back up and back off. This man has proven his love for his country. The fact that he's sitting in these courtrooms is because he loves his country. They can't bear the thought of Donald J. Trump restoring order in the land. And that tells you a lot about the people that hate him. You know, they're scum.
You know, he's come out with some, if you follow him on Truth Social, by the way, we're on Truth Social. I think it's under Doug Hagman. I don't know. We're on Getter. We're on X. We're on Gab. I like Gab too. I think it's, but anyway, but if you follow him, I mean, he's come out with, okay. So about, you know, I spoke about the conflicts with Merchant's daughter, Merchant's wife, is even involved in some of the pro-Biden, pro-leftist causes. So you have the judge whose wife is conflicted, whose daughter is conflicted, should recuse himself in a venue that voted 85% Bragg and Biden, okay, tied at the hip. It's a hostile venue. The judge says, not only am I not going to recuse myself, you want to change a venue? Screw you. You ain't going to get it. So how do you think this is going to play out? I mean, you talk about unfairness. What happened to equal justice under the law? We don't have it. We have a two-tier justice system. Meanwhile, again, Bragg and others, Garland from the Department of Justice, they're going after Christians. I talked to some Christians today, or this, whenever it was, the last couple of days, who are the targets of the Justice Department, of Garland's Justice Department. And meanwhile, so I might get an email by someone saying, well, you said shit. you said damn, you said this, you said that, I don't like your mouth, I'm tuning you out. Well, you know what? Then we can watch your country go down the crapper. Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right, Doug. Absolutely right.
Look, I'll tell you what. It is time, I believe, it is time. One person, I can't say this. Hey, Doug, what are you saying? But you know what? If I was walking down the street of Washington, D.C., I'm just saying, and I saw Garland hanging from the lamppost, dead, hanging from the neck, I'd be okay with that. Am I allowed to say, Eric the Tech, is that all right? Is that an okay thing to say? Or am I going to?
Yes, because it's purely hypothetical.
Right? I mean, Eric the Tech nods in agreement. It's like, hey.
Okay. You're just hanging there.
Yeah, yep. I didn't do it. I didn't encourage it.
Yep. Great Christmas card material. That one hanging in a tree. You know what? If Trump gets screwed in one of these courtrooms with criminal charges, and I don't know what that means as far as the presidency. If he somehow were to get disqualified, this country really needs to be on the lookout then, because the left is going to get slammed. And I guarantee the houses would get cleaned out. I'm just telling you, they need to back off Trump. They really do. And I'm not saying because we command some army, imaginary army. Okay.
Yeah.
Because last I knew, Doug had 140 operatives out there, and they effective responsible for January 6th. All of them, the bastards. They should be hanging in trees. You know what? Shit. Okay. I am done. I am so done with these people. You're going to make a mistake, you dumbasses, okay? Because we here have our fingers on the pulse of America. We know what's going on out there. We know what you don't know, you jackasses. Leave Trump alone. That's what you should call good advice. Walk away. Cancel your plans, okay? Because the man's here to stay, and I'm going to tell you right
frankly,
now.
Frankly, kill yourself.
Yeah, America is going to make sure. America is going to make sure Trump gets in office, and you're going to try and fight that every way you can, you globalist pukes. Well, and we know who you are. We know a lot of you. We don't know all of you. We know who you are, and if you want to open that can of worms,
and we know where you live.
You got it, baby. And if you want to open that can of worms, I'll advise against it. Remember, there's maybe a few thousand of you, you black spots on humanity. There's millions of us. Millions. And guess what? A lot of us are trained veterans, expert hunters. Do you think you're going to get away? Do you really think that you'll get away? I got news for you, bud. When we say it's time, because you made it time, it's all on you. That's the best part. None of this has to happen.
No.
If you just walk away, none of this has to happen. I'm talking to you globalist pukes. I know you're laughing. I have all the money. I'll send somebody down to kill him. My God. Come on. You know what? I may be in a wheelchair a lot of the days, but don't you underestimate a man whose body's still working from the waist up just fine.
Oh, man.
And I'm telling you, I don't mean to go off on that tangent. I'm sick and tired of this shit, Doug. I really am.
Well,
I am so sick and tired. I mean, I get up in the morning and I just want to put my fist through a wall. I'm not leaving this mess to our kids.
No.
I'm not leaving this mess to our grandchildren.
No.
This isn't happening. And you know what? This is how screwed up it is. Now, what kind of person you've turning me into? I was always a peaceful man for the most part, unless I was working for the government. But I was always a peaceful man. And I'm going to tell you something. You know what makes it bad? Is I got up this morning, and I found out that Klaus Schwab was in the hospital. And the first thing I said was, thank you, Lord. Finish it. That's what you're turning us into. You're turning peaceful men into men you don't want to meet. And we do it.
That's right.
We do it for a different thing. You have a love of money. We have a love of country. We love our God. We love our families. That love and that faith will take you a whole lot further than your love of control and money.
Well said.
And I'm going to tell you right now, when we're weighed out and measured, you will come up short.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
And the globalists that are listening and the federal law enforcement agencies, and you law enforcement agencies that sit around and take notes on the show and all, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
What is wrong with you? When you go home and look at your kids at the dinner table, do you really think you did a good job today? Do you think you did a good job today? For who? For you? For the FBI? For mankind? The DOJ? Okay, that's a Department of Jesters to me. Okay, I've run into you before. I tried to help you dinglings years and years ago with Al-Qaeda and other Middle East things. And the more we dug in, the more we looked, we found out that the government you claim you're protecting is financing these asses. You know, that bloodshed in Iraq, that ain't all on Islam. A lot of that's on y'all's hands.
Amen to that.
And shame on you for it. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you do that job and you like it and you think you're doing something good, you really need to go see somebody. You need to go talk to somebody. Talk to somebody that understands God. So talk to somebody that can talk to you about God. Somebody that can tell you what you're doing wrong, because what you're doing is absolutely wrong. You're creating prisons for your own children. You are going to have a death shot in your child's arm. Stop and think about that. It's already been proven the shots are deadly. Okay? Now, I think there's varying degrees, and I think some blank shots were given out. And to be honest with you, because I read a very extensive report that said in Canada that in areas where there was huge, huge liberal support, there were diluted shots. They were dead shots. But the places where there was far right and don't think I'm kidding with you, they can this kind of information is easy for somebody who runs the government. They got people that just, that's all they do is track stuff like this. And I'll tell you right now, I think that honestly that the death jab itself was political, not just for its reasons, but as it was administered.
There you go.
And listen, you got to know something's wrong, people. When you've got a sitting president, not prosecuting, persecuting a former president, something's really wrong. It would be different if Donald Scum, you know, had sent missiles over and killed some little 16-year-old kid, you know, as an American citizen in a foreign country without a trial. That would be different.
Oh,
but no, you want to talk? Yeah, you want to talk to him about some hush money to a whore. Okay? And when you stop, and I want you to stop and think about that. Who cares? At the end of the day, I don't care. I don't care anything. I don't care if this guy runs down the street butt naked at night. You know what I mean? And then heads back home. I don't care. He does a good job and he loves his country.
But Biden doesn't in the White House.
Thank you. Okay? And you got a sitting pedophile in the White House, and that's okay. Oh, everybody's okay with that. And his monster of a son, who is nothing but a criminal, it's still being a criminal. If I did the things Hunter Biden did, I'd be in the can. If Donald Trump's son, Barron, did the things that Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, did, they'd be prosecuting and persecuting Barron. And that's wrong. This is plain and simple wrong. And you people are steering for a collision course, you government types, you globalist types. And you government types, as you get your heads out of your asses and realize who's pulling your strings. easy way to find out if you're doing the right thing. When you look in the mirror in the morning, do you really like yourself? I mean, don't look at your little jelly roll over the belt, okay? And your man boobs. Don't look at that, okay? I hope nobody has to look at that. But look yourself. When you look in the mirror, I want you to do something I did. I used this for a guide when I rededicated my life to Christ many, many, many years ago. I would look in the mirror, and I'd look in my own eyes. Because I'm going to tell you something. For a lot of years, I didn't like the guy in the mirror. I didn't like him. And I couldn't do anything about that until I changed my ways. I didn't like him. And today I can look myself in the eyes, in the mirror, and I'm okay. And when I laid on a gurney 7 or 8 years ago having a really bad heart attack, you know what? I wasn't worried about meeting my maker. You know, him and I are good. Him and I are good. And these people, you gotta come up with some way to measure yourself, because what you're doing, I just cannot believe what I'm seeing, that the DOJ in lockstep with this crooked government and with the globalists are trying to destroy this country. You're persecuting Christians. That is absolutely unacceptable. It will not be accepted. You're getting into dangerous territory, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. You're getting into dangerous territory because you're messing with patriots, and a lot of those patriots are Christians. Well, you picked a bad combination. We know what you're up to. But when I get up in the morning and I'm happy to see that Klaus Schwab is in the hospital, boy, you've pushed me pretty far, haven't you?
And you don't even personally know the man.
I don't even know him. And
but that's I'm what they. But I know. You're right though. I mean, everything you just said encapsulates, I think, what people, the majority of level thinking people feel. And you know, real quick, and I wish you would have been with me at the in Wisconsin, but
we'll do it next time, brother. That'll be fun.
You know, two things real quick. The split in this country, as I drove from the middle of Wisconsin back to northwest PA, I went through red cities and red states, and then I went through places like Chicago and Cleveland, okay, in other places. The difference is stark. Chicago, I don't even know. I think it probably cost me $20 to go through Chicago in tolls.
You paid $20 to get out.
Exactly. There you go. But the thing was, by the time I got on the other side of Chicago, my kidneys weren't like where my lungs should be, because nothing but washboard streets. Yet I'm paying $20. Where's that money going? It's certainly not going to street repair. But the people, beyond the road conditions and such, the people, I mean, when you get out and talk with people, are so much different. And I made it a point to do that. For example, stopping in a very rural area in Indiana versus very, very close to Chicago, the types of people were totally different, and I could not adequately describe to you folks and Randy the only way I see it, we cannot coexist. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I don't see how we could coexist, because you've got people who want communist socialist rule versus people who want to be left alone. And constitutionalists, Christians, God-loving, God-fearing people. In another part, committed to worship on the altar of Moloch. And I don't know. Look, before we go on, this was Morning Joe this morning about the trial, and then we're going to get to the war too. But this was video 3 in the show notes, HagmanPI.com. This is two ends on Hagman, by the way. This is a very quick It's a long clip, but I want RT, you haven't seen this, and that's by design, but I want you to, and folks, you too, watch this clip and tell me what you see, because I was freaked out for reasons which you may or may not see. But watch it closely. Listen, but also watch, because I was freaked out by this. I'll just leave it right there. I think you'll know when you carefully watch this video clip. This is from MSNBC Morning Joe. It was this morning. Cut three.
Joining us now from outside the courthouse in Lower Manhattan, NBC News correspondent Vaughn Hilliard. Vaughn, how long could this jury selection take? What are the boundaries to the timeline, if any? And what will you be looking for today?
We're looking at potentially weeks here for this jury selection process. We know that 6,000 New Yorkers are being summoned here to the Manhattan criminal courts this week alone, an uptick from any normal week because of the stakes of the Trump trial. What is unique about this jury selection process, though, is anybody who comes in is able to dismiss themselves for no exact reason. Of course, the prosecution and the defense will also have the opportunity to ask potential jurors questions. They're going to be looking for 12 individuals plus those six alternates to sit inside of that jury box. And just in the last 60 seconds, Mika, while we were playing Laura's story, Donald Trump has officially arrived here to the Lower Manhattan courthouse for the beginning of this trial. You know, this is something that goes back now to 2016, when 2 weeks before the election, Michael Cohen arranged that payment to Stormy Daniels to silence her story. Over the course of 2017, 11 checks were sent to Michael Cohen, reimbursing him, including 9 of them personal checks from Donald Trump, which hit at the heart of this very trial and those 34 felony counts. Now, Donald Trump's story over the course of the last 8 years has never been clear. In February of 2018, right after the first public story came out detailing this Cohen and Stormy Daniels arrangement, Donald Trump said he didn't know anything about it. Ask Michael Cohen, he said. But then you fast forward, there were suggestions that Donald Trump was aware that he was writing personal checks to Michael Cohen, even though it stated it was as a legal retainer. But then just a year ago, days before his indictment, I was on Donald Trump's plane, the last time I was on his plane, and I asked him 3 separate questions about the extent to which he knew that Michael Cohen had paid off Stormy Daniels for her silence. I also asked him, what was he paying Michael Cohen for then? And every time, Donald Trump gave an obfuscated, unclear answer, which hits at the heart of the question that if Donald Trump does go and testify himself, the prosecutors will have the opportunity to cross-examine him. And that is the decision that Donald Trump will make here at a time of which a trial that could last up to 6 weeks could lead to potentially a felony conviction and a Republican nominee heading to the convention this summer in Milwaukee who has those felony convictions next to his name, Mika.
You know, Vaughn, it's just so interesting. As you just reported, Donald Trump is in the courthouse right now. I mean, history has begun. As the first former president to be enduring, to be facing a criminal trial under a gag order. You know, the way this is described, this trial is this hush money case about hush money that was paid to Stormy Daniels. And from knowing Donald Trump from before he ran for president, when he was doing The Apprentice and running his businesses, so to speak, at Trump Tower, there are two people who will be testifying in this trial who were the closest to Donald Trump in his life, the closest to him in his business, the closest to him during his campaign, and even the closest to him during part of his presidency. And those two people are, the last part has to do with Hope Hicks, and also Michael Cohen. And they will be testifying in this trial. And I personally know that's especially triggering to Donald Trump, especially testimony from Hope Hicks. When you look at these other people who will potentially be witnesses in this trial, the other real trigger factors for this former president, and I say trigger factors because when he gets triggered, he starts posting in all caps crazy things, untrue things on Truth Social or in front of the microphone. He says it himself. But you say David Pecker there, that's also a former friend who he wanted to kill stories or about himself that might have been embarrassed before the election, embarrassing to Donald Trump. And Then you also saw Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. These are embarrassments for him, especially in front of his wife, Melania. There's been a lot of reporting about how the women who hold Donald Trump accountable tend to trigger him the most, make him the most upset, unhinged. And it's going to be interesting to see how Donald Trump plays this politically. He calls this election interference because, of course, he's a candidate for president and this is interfering in his election. At the same time, the narratives that are going to come out of this trial, it'll be interesting to see how the public responds to this. I think this trial will get more attention than some of the other trials. The details are salacious. The information is easy to understand. And it's just unclear to me whether that will help or hurt Donald Trump, because it will definitely put on full display his personal behavior. And I wonder, Vaughn, especially with a lot of the election and races that you've been covering and the way our politics have gone, I think we can expect Donald Trump to make this quite a campaign event for himself.
Absolutely. And in fact, he was in Central.
Now, they're making it a campaign event. They are interfering in a presidential election. They're taking a case beyond the statute of limitations that would be no more than a misdemeanor for anyone else, making it 34 felonies. And, of course, they are saying that Donald Trump is interfering in the election by making this a campaign event when he's gagged and can't talk. But back to that video. If you listen to what she said, they're gleeful this is happening. This is like throwing the president of the United States and a future president, of course, into the den of lions, because the numbers are not with President Trump, no matter what you say. Although there only has to be one to hold out and say, no, there's not enough evidence here, or this is wrong, or whatever it might be. I'm not 100% convinced that's going to happen. But in that video clip, maybe it wasn't the best video clip, but there are others out there. But I wanted to show you how gleeful the left is, the media that works for the deep state, the administrative state. I wanted to show you how gleeful they are that President Trump is now being politically persecuted. And they're proud of it. They're proud of it. But I'm going to go first to Eric the Tech. Eric the Tech, did you see what I saw? Did you notice anything odd? Look, I mean, when I say odd, just odd about that. It would be at the courthouse, the left side of the screen. Did you notice anything odd about that?
The only thing odd that I noticed was the one guard. Security guard chick,
yeah,
is acting very strange.
You're close, and I agree with you on that. Now, Randy Taylor, I don't know how well you were able to see that.
I saw what Eric's talking about, but it was more focused on the security guard.
I don't know if they're the white shirts, the police. But if you go to when they are close together, I couldn't tell them apart. Now, look, I don't. You might think your mind is like my mind is messed up.
Play it again. Let everybody look now.
Just, I mean, I thought they were the same person. They've got to be twins. But does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. But I just thought, I looked at that and I thought, are they this? I mean, are they twins? Could they be? I don't know. Is there a better or like a better shot? Eric the Tech, look again, it doesn't matter. But okay, look at him. And by the way, if you blow that up, it's even more significant. Same glasses, same hairstyle, same facial features, same everything. Same,
the nose is the same, even.
Yeah. Now, look, does it matter? No.
No, but it's bizarre, though.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, okay, but I just, for the content, the video itself shows the glee of the communist-controlled mass media, because this is all most Americans will hear. It's mm-hmm. hush money. It's, you know, he's already guilty.
O.J. Simpson got better treatment from the press than Trump is, than what he's getting. See, out of this whole payment that was made, personally, I don't care, because in my opinion, no crime was committed. So it isn't like you're paying somebody off because you don't want to go to jail. You want to pay. You know what? Many of us in our lives have signed what we call NDAs. Okay? This is all this is like an NDA with money attached to it. Well, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How does this differ? Because he's going to be president? Really? Are you going to go back to when he was like 10? And anything the man ever did, just keep harping on him. I mean, what happened here with this Stormy Daniels? The only people that are affected, the only person that should have any say-so in this is his wife.
I agree with that.
That's it.
Yeah.
The rest of this is crap, because he's not covering up a crime. You're making a crime. Once again, before we had a victimless crime, which tells me there was no crime, and now we have a crime of silence. I'm not getting, you know, this is desperation on the left. And you know what? If they find Trump guilty, I don't give a damn. You know why? He's going to be the president. Because he, apparently, I was looking it up, apparently he can still be president.
Yes.
They stop and think about that. And all this is what's going on right now is like slander.
The judge's daughter posted, RT, posted on Twitter a picture of Donald Trump. This is the judge's daughter posted a picture.
This is nuts. This is nuts.
Donald Trump in jail behind bars.
You know what? I grew up in Podunk Town when I was a kid. I was surrounded by cornfields, you know, this country as it gets. And we had a courthouse in town. And I'm going to tell you right now, this would have never flown. What do you call it when you interest your, what the judge has his daughter towards the case? What's that called?
Conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest. These would have never flown, even in a little trial in my little podunk town. That's why I'm not understanding. This stuff, everybody in the country knows about the daughter and all these ties with his family. This is nuts. And you know what? I'm going to say one of the things Trump needs to do when he gets in office is he needs to put some sort of, oh, there's all your federal judges and everything, some sort of top-notch dog judge. You know what I mean? Or something just under the Supreme Court that can discipline these judges in these federal circuits. Well, because this is clown material.
Look, people forget, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but people forget when Clinton... during Clinton's first term, one of the first acts he did was fire 93 federal prosecutors. Okay, that's what Clinton did. Now,
and you wonder why.
There you go. Now, what can you imagine the outcry when Donald Trump becomes president? You know, if they don't kill him or whatever, mm-hmm. if he fires 93 federal prosecutors. Can you imagine the outcry from the left and people saying, well, that doesn't look right. Well, where's the outrage about Clinton doing that? And why did he do that? This I can understand. Just saying.
There's all this talk on the left about Trump. They took something that Trump said about being a dictator for a day. You know what? The statement was more in jest than anything. And they ran with it. This media today, ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand. Anybody's listening to this show that could shut this show off and turn around and turn on CNN or MSNBC or any of those. Okay? I'm telling you, you got to watch. You got to find better news sources. And you can't even trust Fox News all the way. There's still a couple people on, I like that Jesse kid. Okay? But I don't take anything to heart.
Jesse Waters.
When I do that. I like Jesse Waters. I would, Brett Baer,
even Newsmax has gone to the
The black lady that's on there, I think she's awesome. I can't think of her, name right now. Very nice, very, 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 very intelligent woman. I can't remember because I don't watch
it. You're talking about Fox or?
Yeah, on Fox.
Yeah.
I really don't. If I'm forced to watch because there's an event, like, all right, when Iran started popping Israel Sunday morning. Yes, I did turn on Fox.
Well, that's a good segue. Let's talk about that because
let's do it. So I don't wander here and start get all wound up again.
And this, yeah. And you've been following this because of me being really tight. You've been following this more than I have, but I do have a few things here.
I'm very concerned because our president sucks. That's why I'm very concerned. He's supposed to be in charge of our armed forces, and that really scares me.
Let's see what the New York Post has to say about that. This is in the show notes. This is page 3 under war, and Biden is sleepwalking into catastrophic war, expert says, as IDF mauls retaliatory strike against Iran. So if you can put up page 3, if you don't mind, this is from the New York Post. Biden is clearly not in charge. He is sleepwalking, or he's catatonic, basically, he's sleepwalking us into, well, the globe into this global conflict. Because you know, believe me, once the missiles start flying, and I'm talking about the real missiles, it's over. Life as we know it is going to be over. Go ahead, sir.
No, we're talking about the glow in the dark missiles, folks.
Yeah.
All right. We're talking about serious stuff here. Biden is asleep. Now, don't think for 1 second Israel didn't know the attack was coming. Doug, I mentioned on the phone to you a few days ago before you left for Wisconsin that Israel was pulling troops back. We got an inside line on that Israel was pulling troops back out of Gaza. Okay.
Well, exactly. But Biden warned. Okay. So page 1 to what you're saying as both a segue and to put a point on exactly what you're saying. Biden actually approved Iran's attack. And don't forget, the U.S. has been paying Iran.
All right. Now show them how that. There you go.
Yeah. Folks, read this. This is from Hot Air, and this goes into some detail of how Biden knew about what Iran was going to do, didn't do anything, and I'm not 100% sure that Biden himself or Biden's inner circle did anything to warn Israel of what was coming. Okay, now I want to be very specific about that. Biden himself or to Netanyahu or his inner circle.
I'm curious what messages were flowing back and forth because they still have John Kerry is got marriage ties into Iran. You know, so he's over there a lot. And I'm just curious what all he knew. And like Doug said, what was passed on. It's hard to say.
Well,
over 300 missiles and drones were used by Iran to attack Israel. Israel had like a 99%, I'm going to call it a kill rate on the missiles because they've got that defense shield.
Missiles and drones.
It works really good, that defense shield.
Now, the information I saw this morning was that, I'm not going to say majority, but many of the drones that were sent failed on their own. And this is an issue that would cause Iran to rethink a next strike or there will be another strike, but how that would be carried out. And I'm just saying, look, I don't know, but
anything, if the U.S. gets involved at all, and I'm thinking this is kind of being done on purpose because they never finished the Arab Spring. We're still after Iran and still after Syria. And
people have to really realize that. Educate the people about that. Because, again, this goes back to Obama. right?
It goes back to George Bush. Back to George Bush Jr.
Yes.
People think that, you know,
educate the people on
the reason we went into war, and this is why 9/11 is so important to scrutinize, and it really needs to be torn open again and looked into. They're trying to sweep it under the carpet. That was engineered. Okay, it was engineered to start a war. Okay, think about it. That event happened, and what do? We go after Afghanistan, which is good because that's where it originated from. But then we went after Iraq, a country that had done nothing to us. Right. So he goes after them. Okay, and stop and look at this. The Arab Spring is nothing more. It isn't about installing democracy. Okay, it's about getting rid of Islamic leaders that won't conform to a globalist world order. Okay, sure, the Muslims do want one government governing everybody, but it has to be Islamic, and they call it a caliphate. So what would the U.S. do? They said, well, we'll take out the guys that are going to be the biggest problem. Got Saddam Hussein over here who believes himself to be like Nebuchadnezzar, further back in the Bible. So they go after his country, end up killing him. Oh, they let the people kill him. Whatever. He got smoked by the U.S. In Libya, they went after Gaddafi. Now, once again, it was NATO, you know, but Gaddafi would have nothing to do with that type of setup, the political, as these globalists want today.
Gaddafi was actually cooperating with the United States and turning over information about what would now be known as Al-Qaeda/ISIS-K terrorists. He was actually providing information to the U.S., Gaddafi was. I wanted to say that. And that would largely happen because of his memory of the U.S. striking the tent that killed his daughter. But that was goes back to 87, 86, something like that. But go ahead.
But trust me, he wouldn't go for a globalist setup like they wanted to do.
No.
And then next on the batting order. Oh, now bear in mind, there are problems over in Egypt too. So they bounced Mubarak, the president of Egypt, out of pocket, and Obama slides the Muslim Brotherhood in there to take over. And so then they go after you've got Syria, okay? So they knock these leaders off, got this one thrown in prison. They're looking at Syria and Iran. Well, that's a little uncomfortable for Russia, who's sitting right there with them. Okay, they've been allies with Russia for a long time, right? So with the freedom fighters, now bear in mind now, it's the U.S. using proxies. The Syrian freedom fighters, the U.S. is financing them. You'll notice that they pulled what was Al-Qaeda in Iraq. They've brought them over now and it turned it into ISIS. Okay, you got to watch all these little alliances and things that are going. And they go after Syria in a big way. Well, Putin made sure that Syria was well-armed, the Syrian government, and they were able to repel that. So you still got Syria and Iran that the U.S. hasn't killed the leaders and pretty much have a nice warm blanket there to throw over everybody, you know, to call it a globalist world. Their other problem is Putin. Putin will have nothing to do with the globalists. Nothing. He openly speaks out about it. It has nothing to do with them. So what I'm concerned with is Israel and Iran tossing things back and forth. But we've got to watch what happens and see the decisions that Putin makes. Because in the Bible, they speak of Gog and Magog. And when you go back and trace those maps, and where this was and that was at the time that was written about, all right? Gog and Magog are up in Russia, where Russia is today. And they're supposed to come from the north and after Israel, going into Israel to fight Israel. And, you know,
The entire world.
We're fixing to get into something big.
Yeah.
And we've got one carrier group over there. Russell will, I hate to say it, we have the best people in the country. He'll unleash hell on that carrier group. These things are going to get real bad real fast. Forget about Ukraine and people, oh, we're going to get in third world war over Ukraine. No, we're not. We're going to get in third world war. They may use that as a selling point when they try and jerk Congress out of some more money. But the ones you got to watch is what's going on right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to watch something over your coffee every morning, get the update on that. Because that's a tinderbox. Yes.
World War III, I believe, will begin in Syria.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I've said that for the longest time. And by the way, okay, speaking about Iran, I want to give people kind of a framework. Charlie Kirk from TPUSA, he has a show on Real America's Voice. If you haven't watched it, he's good. He's very good. He posted on Twitter, X, or whatever it might have been. Jack Posobiec posted, Jack Posobiec, Human Events Daily, a friend of mine, friend of the program. He posted in October, let me see, I just want to make sure this is right, October 16th, 2023. He posted a tweet by Charlie Kirk, okay, from September 11th of 2015. Now follow me on this because it's kind of confusing, which stated, Iran funds Hamas. Hamas has killed Americans and Jews. Now we give Iran $150 billion. Where do you think that money will go? Now, this is 2023 in the fall. The original post from Charlie Kirk, retweeted by Jack Posobiec, was just that, $150 billion. So who gave that $150 billion? It was Barack Hussein Obama. All right, that was a reference to the money given by Obama. Then you've got, real quick, you've got Biden sending Iran by way of, allowing access, I should say, as opposed to maybe sending in pallets, although there was a little of both. Biden allowed Iran access to access another $10 billion amid the Gaza war and the sanctions imposed in part by the actions of Hamas to Iran. So in other words, Biden is following Obama's plans, Obama's doing it, but go ahead.
Obama's doing it with, it's just got Biden's face on there. By the way, I just got a little news bleep. You guys know that the Palestinian protesters are ramping up all over the world. Okay.
Wow.
I'm telling you. And the cops, watch Canada and watch US, the cops are doing nothing to those protesters. But if you're far right, the cops will arrest you. That's what's happening up here in Canada. But right now, what's happening, yeah, there you go. There's the April 15th coordinated economic blockade to free Palestine. This is huge, okay, up in Canada. Now, I just got a news blurb that says Hamas protesters take over the Scotia Bank in Montreal. Cops do nothing but stand there.
You know, I have to say this for full transparency. I was secretly hoping on my car travel to run across like a free Palestine or LGBTQRSVP blockade. Okay, because yes. I wanted to show people how to handle that. Because that would have been on the news. Every station, I guarantee you.
Any car going through there at 70 through the crowd would probably
be. I'm going to tell you what, it would have been there would have been carnage. And folks, if you think that's unchristian-like, you know, read the Old Testament. Okay, God had man do some things when the enemy attacked his people. But okay, but
absolutely, no, you're absolutely right. That's what we said. God will use imperfect vessels,
yeah,
to do his work, and I think that's fantastic because that means that I have a chance to do something for God.
Exactly. So okay. So with the backdrop of the Arab Spring, I think it's safe to say, and again, feel free to...
And people don't understand that, Doug. You know what? I hear news pundits and all this. They don't talk about the Arab Spring. They don't talk about any of that. What we just told you is what actually happened.
And the architects of that are
actually
still.
That's why it happened. Trust me.
Yes.
We were in this circle, man. We know these things.
You've got Victoria Nuland, you got Samantha Power, you got all of these people, Cass Sunstein, even though, you know, it,
George Bush Sr. was taking orders from the globalists.
Yes.
And he had it made because his son was in office.
Yeah.
And finally, he could do the Arab Spring. Finally. Because it ain't about democracy. If it tells you that, you need to brace them and tell them what it was about. And I just told you what it was about.
And I think you and I, at the time, if I recall correctly, at least I was very pro-Bush. I was thinking, yeah,
yes,
this is good. Yeah. In fact, I attended a lecture by Paul Wolfowitz. I mean, you talk about one of the greatest globalist military-industrial complex people out there in Washington, D.C., back in 07, 08, something like that. So the only thing I can say is I'm sorry. Now I can see the light, and you're exactly right. And by the way, this weekend, I want to be careful how I say this, but I met a family member of one of the soldiers, one of the people, I don't want to say soldier, one of the members of the CIA compound in Benghazi who was killed. I'm not going to give the name because I don't want to give anything, but, you know, there's only a limited number of people that were killed at that embassy in Benghazi. That wasn't an embassy. I'm sorry. I say that all the time. It was a CIA compound, gun running compound. But
it was a house.
Yeah. I met with him, or I talked with him, and he was telling me certain things that blew my mind. So I said, "Would you like to come on the show?" And he said, "No. I can't. I can't." And I thought, "Yeah, probably wouldn't be a good idea." But what he was saying is pretty much what you've been saying and are saying with respect to the intelligence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I believe the reason that they allowed Stevens to be killed, I think Stevens was getting ready to go public and let everybody in the world know that the USA, Barack Hussein Obama, and Hillary Clinton, okay, were financing everything that, I know they said Al-Qaeda's dead. Al-Qaeda / ISIS, everything they were doing in Syria. Because remember, they were freedom fighters. Remember Hussein made the comment about one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. Which, right in the middle of us suspecting him what he's doing, he pretty much solidified it.
So in summary, just so people can really grasp the importance,
we could do a whole show. We could do a whole show on the Arab Spring,
and we probably should. But
yes.
So what we're seeing today with Iran attacking Israel and Israel responding in kind, or when I say responding, I'm referencing the initial response by Israel at the
October 7th.
The most more recent, that was the bomb on the, that killed the two Iranian journalists. Okay. Was that at an embassy in Syria? It was someplace in Syria.
We got a general too.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, I think what people really need to understand, at least from my view, is all of what we're seeing today started really, as you said, with, I'm going to say George Bush Sr. And as we look at this, you can go back. It's easier to reconstruct backwards and see everything that was done by George H.W. Bush. And you could probably go back to Carter to some extent, but without muddying the waters here. All of these people, all of these politicians, with the exception of Donald Trump, and maybe this is another reason why he's being persecuted because of his refusal. I mean, I don't know whether you saw his tweet. When I was driving back, I got a, a notification saying so-and-so said, oh, he's violating this act, this act, this act. But President Trump came out and said, look, if I was president, Iran would not be threatening us at all. And yeah, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but you're right. I mean, when he
we're vulnerable right now. Look at this. When you look at Biden's cabinet, what a bunch of fruitcakes. Look at who is in the Navy. The admiral, that fruitcake from Pennsylvania.
No, the Department of Health.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Looking around, that one. You know, and you see these people, and you're like, who? They have to be looking over here and laughing. And remember, these are Muslims, so they take things pretty serious. Well, we might laugh at, they would kill somebody over. You understand what I'm saying? They get a little carried away.
As we saw,
and don't think for one instant that we're pro Iran. We never have been, never will be. We kind of always said, kind of keep to themselves. Okay, so don't twist anything we say and go, oh, you guys are against the, you know, because we're against the globalists. All right, and the globalists need to stay out of Iran too.
This is like a big game of risk.
It is a huge game, and the other thing, next thing people are going to start throwing at us is, you know, we already get called far right supremacist, white supremacist. Next thing they're going to be, we're going to be bad people because we don't have a beef with Putin. Well, Putin's a threat. He wants to kill the United States. Man, if he wanted to do war with the United States, it had already been started. And I'll tell you right now, if Donald Trump was in office, they'd be drinking tea somewhere, and not there wouldn't be this problem. Ukraine would not have occurred.
Yeah, amen to that.
People better start thinking. Okay, Trump was a peacemaker. Trump brought troops home. Biden just shipped out another batch. I think I sent that to you, Doug. Another batch of troops out the door. And this is where we have to start worrying. If he mobilizes and starts taking entire battalions and divisions out of the United States and putting them in different places overseas, there's not going to be really anything here for the United States. So when he decides to give the order to confiscate guns,
which he will,
who's going to confiscate them? The cops? They ain't going to do it. It'd be a bloodbath. Any cop would say, nope, not today. Now you're going to find out all these people that came up across the southern border, you know, that were middle-aged, fighting age, between 18 and 35, wearing nice pants, some of them wearing fatigues. Yeah, you're going to find out whose payroll they're on. They're going to be the ones coming to your house. They're going to be the ones asking for your guns. And if you don't give them to them, they have no love for you. You're an American. They don't know where they're from.
And
you're going to get hurt. People are going to get hurt. People are going to get killed.
And I have to say, this connects as well. Michael Yon, who, you know what, RT, I'm going to ask Michael to come on with both of us. But
that would be cool.
When Michael Yon, right when Mayorkas, right after he was installed as head of DHS, went down to San Vicente camp, I think I might have that correct, just north of Darien Gap in Panama, and watched and oversaw, in a sense, oversaw the expansion of that camp, which he created a bigger bus stop for the very people you're talking about, okay? And it's interesting now because we have a Senate, Schumer, who may possibly table for the first time in U.S. history an impeachment trial against Mayorkas. Why would Schumer do that? Well, you might ask, well, you talked about the Trump trial for so long. Well, guess what? Schumer, as it turns out, is a benefactor, maybe two or three steps away from the very people who are prosecuting / persecuting President Trump. Do you think Schumer has a reason not to want Donald Trump back in office? Of course he does. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so Schumer could very well proceed with the trial, but he may table it or quash it in some fashion. Certainly not. There's no votes there to, not enough votes for an impeachment of Mayorkas or a trial, guilty verdict in the trial to get him out. So whose side are they on? They're on the side of the enemy coming in, and that connects. So that connects with, yes, the gun confiscation, with the advancement of the policies overseas. Why? Because it's a global conflict that involves the United States that has to be taken down. Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. This is, you know what? And the thing is, we're seeing all these things happening. We're not doing anything about it. People have asked me and Doug for the last few years, you know, what are the trigger points? What's going to happen that's going to make people suddenly, you know, take over the government? You know what? I think a lot of that, and myself personally, is going to hinge around Donald Trump. I think that right now people are like on the last resort kind of thing, like the last thing they'll accept before they go bananas on these people. And I believe that it's they want Trump in office, and they're hoping that he can fix most of it, or at least get the ball started so we can turn the country around. He'll certainly have a lot of help available if he needs it, right? But you have to look at also what would be the ignition, the flash fire, you know, flashpoint. What would be the flashpoint? And I say the flashpoint is if somebody even attempts to hurt Donald Trump. I'm talking about physically. I believe that all bets are off at that time, or if they come up with something else in some way to derail President Trump, that there's no way he could be the president. There's no way he could be in the elections. And I'm going to tell you, if they're stupid enough to do that, they're stupid enough then to be responsible for what follows thereafter.
I believe that to be the case, too.
Yes, sir. And you don't have to be a genius to see this, do you, Doug?
No, you don't.
No. You see this in your neighborhood. You'll hear this at the store. You know what I mean? And they're shopping at a Home Depot or something, and you'll hear people talking. I hear people talking in line. Or I'm standing in an elevator, and there's somebody, and I say hi. And next thing you know, the conversation is about Trump. A lot of people talk about this. And there's a lot of people that are sitting there thinking about the exact scenario I just described to you. There's men sitting at the head of the table getting ready to say grace, or, you know, say a prayer for the meal. And they're looking at their wives and their kids, maybe even their grandkids, and thinking, what's it going to take to protect these ones that I love? They're all looking at me like, Dad, what do we do?
It's up to us, and that was one thing in Wisconsin with Coach Dave. The guy is larger than life, but I was listening to him and watching him.
He's got a lot of fans.
I'm going to tell you, he came off at the close, or roughly the close, he came off the stage, and he did a lot of things. For example, he was talking about, are you sick of pastors who are not speaking out against, you know, for example, not speaking out against certain things because, we don't want to mix politics with religion. Well, no, that's wrong.
That is their job. That is their job. They are the shepherds of the sheep. Start tending to your flock.
And you know what? He came off that stage and he said, if you're sitting here and you got a pastor that's like that, mealy mouth, you know, stinking thinking kind of pastor, then you tell them to start talking about these issues or change churches, if you will. You know,
find a new parish.
But exactly. Look, action is going to be required of all of us. It's going to be in different forms, right?
Yeah. And we've talked about this on the show numerous times over. Complacency is what got us here.
Yes.
Okay? And they sit back and they, you know what? We can warn them against what not to do that's going to blow the whole thing apart. But you know what? They're so bold in their ways, and we have done nothing for so long. Let this happen. They assume they can just steamroll the whole process. And because I grew up in a Baptist church in a little town. Let me tell you what, Sunday morning, you thought the guy had followed you around the night before when he was talking.
I love your brother. Randy Taylor, RT at HagmanPI.com is his email. And folks, hey, look, I'm sorry I was a little crusty today. I gotta get my sea legs back, you know.
We love you, man.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate you. Hey, we'll talk soon.
Buy some coffee.
Hey, yeah, coffee. Absolutely.